Ashlisya Samashitoshnam Prasuna Vanamarutam Janasthapam Jahur Gopyo Na Krishna Hrita Chetasha. Except for the gopis whose hearts had been stolen by Krishna, the people could forget their suffering by embracing the wind coming from the flower-filled forest. This wind was neither hot nor cold. Gavo mriga kaga narya pushpinya sarada bhavan anviyamana svabrishai phalayar ishakriya iva. By the influence of the autumn season, all the cows, doe, women, and female birds became fertile and were followed by their respective mates in search of sexual enjoyment. Just as activities performed for the service of the Supreme Lord are automatically followed by all beneficial results. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments, on the arrival of the autumn season, all the cows, deer, birds, and females in general become pregnant. Because in that season, generally all the husbands become impelled by sex desire. This is exactly like the transcendentalists, who by the grace of the Supreme Lord are bestowed with the benediction of their destinations in life. Srila Rupa Goswami has instructed in his Upadeshamrita that one should perform devotional service with great enthusiasm, patience, and conviction, and should follow the rules and regulations, keep oneself clean from material contamination, and stay in the association of devotees. By following these principles, one is sure to achieve the desired result of devotional service. For he who patiently follows the regulative principles of devotional service, the time will come when he will achieve the result, as the wives reap results by becoming pregnant. Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guruve Namaha. By the influence of the autumn season, all the cows, doe, women, and female birds became fertile and were followed by their respective mates in search of sexual enjoyment. Just as activities performed for the service of the Supreme Lord are automatically followed by all beneficial results. By the divine grace of Srila Shukadev Goswami, we are bearing witness to the most sublime instructions and realizations that are so benevolently and freely being provided by Lord Sri Krishna through the agency of material nature. Srila Prabhupada often used to say that when you talk about nature, the natural question is, whose nature? Just as you have your nature and I have my nature, the birds have their nature. The lions, the tigers, they have their nature. So when we talk about nature, which is the all-pervading environment of this creation, we are speaking of Krishna's nature. Krishna's nature is described in the Shastra. It is described in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam, that he is an eternal transcendental body which is full of bliss. He's the cause of all causes. He's the source of everything. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dinavandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Sri Radha Kanta Namostate. His nature is that he is Kripa Sindhu. He is an ocean of mercy. His mercy is infinite, without length or breadth. And he is Dinabandhu. He is the only real friend of those who are suffering, of those who are fallen, in those who are in a lamentable condition of bondage. This is his nature. So therefore, this whole creation around us is just a manifestation, a reflection of Krishna's nature, who is an ocean of mercy and the friend of the fallen. Kripa Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu. But sometimes people wonder, if Krishna is the friend of the most fallen, and if he is an ocean of mercy, and his mercy is perfect, and it is all pervading, you cannot escape it, then why is it that there are so many confusing and bewildering conditions of this world, so much suffering, so much apparent unfair inflictions upon people? We must know that Krishna sees everything from the point of view of the soul. An illusion person sees on the bodily conception of life. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. That I am this material body, that these material bodies are my near and dear ones, my relatives, and that those things in relationship to this body are mine, my property, my home, my wealth, my position in society. This is a great illusion. This is a bewilderment. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. Krishna says, when this body dies, the soul remains. Najayate mriyate vakadachya. For the soul, there is no birth or death. For the soul, there is no suffering. It is because of illusion, because we forget our spiritual nature, because we identify with what we are not, there is suffering. Srila Prabhupada defines maya, which means that which is not. When we identify with what we are not, we are in illusion. And that is the root cause of all suffering and conflict and disharmony. But Krishna, he never falls under these illusions. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nana nukonteya jagadvi parivaratate. He is the master and controller of this maya potency. He is always above the modes of material nature. He is achyuta. He is infallible. Therefore, Krishna never identifies us with our body as we do. Krishna only sees us as his eternal part and parcel, the soul. And although the sufferings of the body may appear to be so unbearable and incredible to one who is under the illusion that they are this body, to Krishna,
It's quite insignificant. And if that's what it takes to help liberate the soul from the bondage of ignorance, he will let it be. So therefore, all the sufferings and all the pleasures, everything of this material nature is a manifestation of Krishna's nature, which is Karuna Sindhu and Dina Bandhu. It is his mercy. It is his love. And on the spiritual platform, a devotee can appreciate that, welcome and be grateful for any situation. Because of the ignorance of the bodily conception of life, in this illusion, man inflicts so much suffering on himself. But it is all ultimately meant to rehabilitate the soul and bring him back to his eternal position, Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Ranityadas, to be the humble servant of Sri Krishna, to realize that all of the attributes which I am aspiring for in this world are only causing me terrible, terrible pain and bondage. It's like a blazing forest fire, and the only way out of this blazing fire is to fall on our hands and knees in utter humility and pray, Krishna, only you can save me. I am your servant. Let your will be done. There is no other way. That humility, surrender, and devotion at the feet of God. So this whole material nature has been created by Krishna as a learning experience for the conditioned soul. And so many wonderful, beautiful lessons, Shukadev Goswami, are being revealed. It is said that we should see through our ears. When we look at material nature, we should see it through what we have heard from Shukadev Goswami and from our Guru Maharaj. Just like it is explaining here, every aspect of nature, for every season, of what lessons are to be learned, what revelations, and how they help us improve the quality of our spirituality. It is so wonderful. Here it is explaining in the autumn season, that all the cows, the doe, the women, the female birds, they all become fertile and followed by their respective mates. And it says, just as activities performed for the service of the Supreme Lord are automatically followed by all beneficial results. We all have the same problem in spiritual life, that many of us are following the regulative principles, sometimes quite strictly, and we are trying, who can say that they are trying their best, but we are trying sincerely to serve our Guru Maharaj by chanting Krishna's names, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by serving the Vaishnavas, but yet still, my heart is plagued with so much material desire. Despite all my endeavors for so many years, still there's lust, still there's envy and pride and anger and greed and illusion. Why? If Krishna is so merciful and I'm surrendering to him, why still I'm in such a condition? It is described here that one must be patient and have faith. Srila Prabhupada would often use the example that when a young woman is married, she naturally wants to have a child. But she cannot have a child instantly. But she knows if she faithfully serves her husband, if she's very chaste, when her husband is satisfied with her, he will impregnate her. And at the time of impregnation, it's not that instantly there is a baby. She has to wait many, many long months, but she knows that that baby will be born. In the same way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Brahmanda Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasari Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. That the spiritual master, he plants the seed of bhakti in our heart. Just like a husband plants the seed of life within the woman's womb. And that seed that the spiritual master plants within our heart is the seed of love, the seed of bhakti, devotion. But it is not that instantly we become great devotees. We have to water that seed. And we have to have faith, complete faith, that if I simply continue to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness with a sincere and humble heart, that love of God will come. Inevitably. It is Krishna's promise. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishashi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. He says, you just follow these principles. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your obeisances to me. In this way you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my friend. He is speaking not just to Arjuna, he is speaking to all of us. It is Krishna's promise. And Krishna's promise is infallible. It is achyuta. You can make a promise, and I can make a promise, but certain circumstances in this world can force us to break our promise because we are limited and helpless. But when Krishna makes a promise, there is no power in all the creation that can break his promise if he so desires. He has given this word that you will attain the perfection of life if you simply follow the path of Krishna consciousness. But when? We must be patient. It will come. We are like a mother. The seed of bhakti is in our heart, in our womb. If we just carry on with our service sincerely, it is inevitable. It is undeniable that Krishna will reward the highest goal. But just as giving birth to a child is not a cheap thing, we see what types of terrible austerities a mother has to go through. Child in the womb, all sorts of difficulties, all sorts of inconveniences. But with faith, she just carries on. In the same way, a devotee, although there may be many difficulties, it may be very inconvenient to carry on in our devotional service. It may be very troublesome. But we know what the result will be. Therefore, we carry on under any circumstance. Rupa Goswami explains in the Upadeshamrit, as Srila Prabhupada explains here in purport, that one who patiently follows the regulative principles of devotional service, the time will come when he will achieve the result. And he says that one should perform devotional service with enthusiasm, patience, and conviction. Let us analyze these three principles since according to Rupa Goswami, they are the most essential three principles in spiritual development. First is enthusiasm. As it is said, no pain, no gain. If you are not willing to work for Krishna consciousness, it is not cheap. Krishna will give nothing. Krishna tells Arjuna, you must give up your lethargy, your laziness, and your egoism, two great enemies for a spiritual aspirant. And this lethargy, this is a great, great impediment. We think, now I am initiated devotee, now I have the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, and therefore there is no need for me to work so hard. Why is it not coming? A devotee must become extremely enthusiastic. According to the enthusiasm in which you want to please Krishna and please Guru, to that extent you will get their mercy. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say, for a devotee who is not enthusiastic spiritually, he is dead. The life of our Krishna consciousness is based as our enthusiasm to serve. That means we must really work hard. That means we should not be expecting. What facilities I have. We should be doing our service with all of our energy under any condition. This is enthusiasm. Not when things are right, I will do my seva nicely. But when I don't have money or I don't have facility, look at Srila Prabhupada. What enthusiasm! They started incredible missions with nothing, with no one. But how much enthusiasm? Srila Prabhupada was 71 years old. He had no money, nothing. None of his godbrothers would give him one paisa. They wouldn't even send him a murdanga or a set of kartals. And yet every day he would be writing. He would be going to the parks chanting. He would be preaching. He didn't even know who these people were. They were the craziest looking people he ever saw in his life, and he was preaching Gita to them with such enthusiasm. And one day, sitting on a park bench, some man was sitting next to him, just a man sleeping on the bench. He said, "Who are you? What is your mission?" And Prabhupada was telling him about how I have so many hundreds of temples all over the world and farm communities and so many hundreds, thousands of devotees. He had nothing. He didn't even have a place to rest his head. But he was so enthusiastic. Every single moment was the most precious opportunity to serve his guru. And yet sometimes we're such foolish, spoiled brats that if we don't get just what we want, we think, oh, how can I do it? Why should I do it? And we lament. We must be enthusiastic. We must be running for devotional service. When we're asked to do something, we shouldn't think, why are you asking me? Why not somebody else? Why doesn't he do it? We should be honored. We should be grateful. We should be begging for service. A foolish devotee is afraid to come to the temple because he's afraid they might give me something to do. A devotee should be begging, pleading, Krishna, give me service. The definition of the Maha Mantra of the Acharyas is a pleading prayer, Krishna, engage me in your service. We should be so much anxious, so grateful. This is enthusiasm. That we cannot do too much. There's not enough time in the day to serve my spiritual master. What can I do? Where can I do it? How can I do it? Every moment is an opportunity to encourage a Vaishnava, to assist another devotee in his service, to do something for my Gurudev. This is enthusiasm. Blood, sweat, tears, we're willing to shed any condition of life. We're willing to make our life a sacrifice for the pleasure of our guru. This is enthusiasm. This is essential. This is required. And if we're stagnant, and if we're just expecting, what are they doing for me? A devotee thinks never, what are they doing for me, but what can I do for the Vaishnavas? If we don't have this consciousness, we will not advance properly. This is essential. We must cultivate. We must pray for it. We must strive for it. How can I increase my service? What can I do more? It is this vitality that gives life and substance to a devotee. And we see a devotee who's simply grateful, humble, and enthusiastic to serve. That devotee is blissful and effulgent. And the devotees that complain, and the devotees that are always trying to get out of something, a devotee's too busy to do anything more, those devotees are always looking very gloomy, morose. It's like a dark cloud over them. You want to get something done, you have to ask someone who's busy, someone who's not doing much. If you ask them to do something, he will say, I do not have time. But someone who's busy, if you ask them, he'll say, I'll do it. Immediately. You must ask a busy man, because in Krishna consciousness, everyone is expected to be busy all day long for Krishna. We should be begging and running for more service. And then he explains patience. Because although we are so enthusiastic, still so many anartas are inflicted upon us. Huh? But just like the pregnant mother, she knows, if I just take good care of this child within my womb, he will be born. We have to have that same confidence. There is a story of Mukunda in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mukunda was a very, very great devotee of the Lord. He was especially famous for his beautiful singing of kirtan. He was so humble, so much intimate as a friend and a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But each devotee has his unique qualities. So Mukunda was very much liberal-minded. So sometimes he would be invited by Mayavad philosophers to attend their programs or associate with them, to hear from them. So he was not the slightest bit interested, but just to not offend people, he would attend. He would attend discourses of Mayavads and associate with them. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he found out about this, he was very angry. Mayavadi bhasya sunilai sarva hai nasha. He said that if one hears Mayavad philosophy submissively, he is doomed. Even if he's on the platform of Vaikuntha, he will fall down if he submissively hears this philosophy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to make a good example of this. He said, this Mukunda, this hypocrite, he comes and he chants and dances with us and hears Bhagavatam with us, but then he goes out and associates with these Mayavadis. He said, I never want him to come into our association again, ever. And Mukunda was right there. It was at Srivas Thakur's house that this happened. Mahaprabhu was calling all his devotees to receive his special mercy. And Mukunda was waiting, waiting, waiting. And they said, Mahaprabhu, what about Mukunda? And then he said like this, never will I see him again. He's banned forever. And when Mukunda heard the thunderous voice of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to weep, he began to cry. When the Lord does something, he does many things at once. One is he wanted to show how much displeasure it is for anyone who submissively hears this Mayavad ideas. And two is he wanted to show the incredible quality of Mukunda. Mukunda began to cry. He began to weep. His heart was so broken that what was his existence? Even suicide would be useless because he's never allowed to get the mercy of Mahaprabhu again. You can imagine his devastation. So when the devotees saw how much he was crushed by the words of Sri Gauranga, they went to Mahaprabhu and said, he's actually a nice devotee. Why are you so strict with him? Look at him. He's in a pitiable condition. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't you bother me with this Mukunda. He is an offender. He is a hypocrite. I will not see him for 1 million births. And when he said this, Mukunda became so joyful, he began to dance in ecstasy. And everyone was looking, why are you dancing in ecstasy? He said, just see my good fortune, that all I have to do is wait 1 million births and I get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What a good fortune I have. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard such patience, he immediately called Mukunda and embraced him with his loving arms. He wept tears upon him. But of course, after that, Mukunda never went to these discourses of the Mayavadis anymore. Sri Radha Gopinath ji ki. So we must be patient, because the path of bhakti is the path of grace. It is the path of receiving Krishna's mercy. And this is why many devotees leave this movement. They try very hard for some time, but tears of ecstasy are not flowing from their eyes. Their limbs are not trembling. Their hairs are not standing on end at the recitation of the holy name. And still, so many material desires. So they think, why am I going on with this? I give up. And of course, there are unauthorized paths that try to encourage simply the emotional satisfaction of revealing these types of ecstasies cheaply, without a pure, untainted heart of devotion. We must understand that these symptoms are the symptoms of someone who is already liberated. They are the symptoms of someone who is tasting the sweetness of love and is beyond the modes of material nature. They are not something to be practiced by beginners. What is to be practiced by the beginners? Being the humble servant, being enthusiastic for service, executing the word of Gurudev with patience. We don't want to jump. We know that through the authorized parampara of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the result is guaranteed. So a devotee will never leave this path if he has this type of enthusiasm and patience. He will continue on. If it takes all my life, if it takes many births, it's worth it. But I must go on. I must never leave hope. And that is why the next principle of conviction. One must have this faith. One must have this conviction. And that is why we must associate with saintly people and hear from them. Because by hearing in the association of sadhus, the conviction in our heart becomes strong. Faith is something that is beyond intellectualization. Intellectualization is a necessary requirement to understand what to have faith in, but ultimately the faith is of the heart. Conviction. Srila Prabhupada used to say that if you are simply convinced that Krishna is God, you will be empowered to preach. And one day he looked at all the leaders of his movement and he pointed his finger right at them and he said, "Are you convinced?" And when Srila Prabhupada asks you that question, any doubt that's hiding anywhere within your consciousness comes right to the top. And everyone remains silent. He said, "You must be convinced." By reading his books, by associating with his devotees, by avoiding the association of people who or those literatures which divert our attention, we gain conviction. Vyabhashayatmaka budhir ekeha kuru nandana bahushaka hinantasya budhayo vyabhashayana. That this path is for those who are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. Those who are irresolute, their intelligence is many-branched. We must be convinced. We must be convinced that Krishna's words will come true. We must be convinced that our spiritual master is authorized representative of Krishna. By his grace, we will go back to Godhead. By his grace, yasya prasada bhagavat prasaru yasya prasada nagati kutopi. We will get the mercy of Sri Krishna. And sometimes the guru tests our faith. And sometimes Krishna tests our faith. But those tests, if we are sincere, will make our faith stronger. And if we are insincere, it will be extinguished. Just like fire. When you fan a fire, one of two things happens. Either it goes out or it grows. If we are sincere, when the wind of the tests come into our life, our faith blazes. And if we are insincere, we look for another alternative. We take the condition around us as an excuse to give up and to go somewhere else, to do something else. We must have conviction. And that conviction comes tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. By inquiring submissively, by hearing submissively, shraddha is awakened. And by rendering service, by simply hearing, but not practicing what we hear, no realization of faith will take place. We must hear and we must attempt with all earnest and honest desire to implement it in our life. And then faith, conviction, begins to grow in our heart. And we must avoid, like the plague of death, associating with people that disturb our faith in Guru, in the Vaishnavas, and in Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they asked him how to become a devotee, how to love God, asat sangya tyaga avaishnava achar, he said, you associate with sadhus and be their servant, and you avoid the association of materialistic people and non-devotees. Because this faith is so precious. It's like a tender seedling. If we hear criticism of Vaishnavas, if we speak criticism of Vaishnavas, the same effect is achieved, that our faith is disturbed. And we may not even notice it. On the gross level, we may think, yes, we're talking practical matters. This person is criticizing other Vaishnavas, blaspheming other Vaishnavas, but it's not affecting me. But it is affecting you. If not on the conscious level, on the subconscious level, your seed of faith is being attacked. It is being destroyed and you don't even know it. It's like if you have sex with someone with AIDS and you think, well, look, I just had it. I'm not suffering. It's no problem. 2 weeks later, you see, it's all right. You can do that. It's not a problem. But the fact is that at the moment it happens, your life is being destroyed from within. And it's much later on that you realize that you made a mistake. In the same way, to speak or to hear criticism of Guru, Vaishnavas, or Krishna, or the Shastra, means that you are allowing a terminal disease to enter into your heart, and your faith is being destroyed. So therefore, conviction means we must associate with people who reconfirm, reestablish, and strengthen our faith, that Krishna consciousness will take me back to Godhead, that my Guru Maharaj will help, is Krishna's representative, that the Vaishnavas are all Krishna's representatives, that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, everything will be attained in their association. And we must never hear those things which are contrary to these most sacred principles of our life. And then conviction grows. And with that conviction, we will have a substance, a foundation by which we can be patient. We can tolerate any condition of life and go on with our devotional service. Look at Prahlad Maharaj, such enthusiasm, such patience, and such conviction he had. Although he knew that he was the only Vaishnava in the entire kingdom, and everyone hated Vaishnavas, he was being persecuted, he was being blasphemed, they were attempting to kill him, and still he was so enthusiastic that as soon as Sanda and Amarka, his teachers, left the room, immediately started just giving discourses, preaching. Komara acharet pragyo dharaman bhagavataniha durlabhamanu sanjana tad apyatruvam irartadham. That now, little children, now is the time to surrender to Krishna, chant his holy names. He was preaching philosophy. He was inducing them all to have beautiful kirtan of the holy name, chanting and dancing. So enthusiastic, even under those conditions. And his teachers were so just absolutely furious with him that they just scolded him and brought him to their father, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, the conqueror of the universe. Hiranyakashipu threw him down. He said, what is this nonsense? What are you doing, Prahlad Maharaj? Hitatma bhatam grihamanda kupam. Vanam gato yad harimasha yeta. You should leave your dark well of family life, father, and you should go to the forest of Vrindavan and surrender to Krishna. Such enthusiasm under any circumstance. And even when he was being thrown into fires and being fed to hungry serpents, and when he was being stabbed by rakshasas and taunted and fed deadly poison, he had such patience, such innocent faith, that it didn't disturb him. He knew that because I'm serving Krishna, Krishna will protect me. Even though I'm going through all this, so much persecution and torture, he knew in the end Krishna will save me. He just patiently tolerated it all. What do we have to patiently tolerate compared to that? Such patience, such faith, such enthusiasm. These are the examples we must aspire to follow. And if one simply nourishes his spiritual life through these three principles, then it is 100% guaranteed. And you will become the most benevolent bestower of the ultimate charity of love of God to all. It is guaranteed. We have to have this conviction. We have to be patient through any circumstance and continue on, however long it takes, with great enthusiasm. So all these wonderful lessons Shukadeva Goswami is revealing just by seeing a few pregnant animals. Huh? How many hidden secrets are within every aspect of this world and this creation. But unless we associate with such great devotees, those secrets remain hidden. They are revealed by the spiritual master. They are revealed through the scriptures and the sadhus. So if we simply learn how to humbly hear from and serve Guru Sadhu Shastra, Krishna will reveal everything to us without doubt. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, the determination to not do those things and also to do those things which help us in our devotional service. Now, this type of determination, can we build it up in a moment, or it takes also a gradual time?
Huh?
This type of determination.
The end? Yeah. What is the end of the question?
Does it take a gradual time to develop this type of determination? Or does it take some time to develop this determination? Or can we build this determination in a moment?
God helps them who help themselves. According to your capacity, you must be determined now. And then your determination grows. Just like an athlete. If you run as fast as you can run, you gain the strength to run faster. But if you don't go all out and run as fast as you can, then you won't grow faster. You'll remain the way you are. Huh? Or a weightlifter. If a weightlifter is lifting as much as he can, by practicing that, he gains the strength to lift more and more and more and more. So determination is like that. You have to first work to the extent you can. You have to be determined. And by being determined, your determination grows. Huh? Determination are like spiritual muscles. Unless you work your muscles to their capacity, they will not grow. In fact, if you're lazy, they will get smaller and smaller and smaller. It's like we had one devotee, his name is Bhima. He was a champion bodybuilder in college, and he had massive muscles. He used to get photos taken of him. After he became a devotee, he was no longer spending 8 hours a day just lifting weights. And soon he became like Tattva. It's the skinny brahmachari, huh? He didn't mind. Because if you don't use them, they go away. So similarly, if you're not as determined as you can, whatever determination you have will just go away. But if you're practicing determination according to your capacity, your determination will become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. But not immediately. It takes time. Krishna says, by constant practice and detachment, we can overcome the influences of the mind. And really, what is determination? To overcome the influences of the mind with our intelligence. Huh? Yes?
Maharaj, you are talking about this enthusiasm, patience, and conviction about faith. Well, we try to endeavor for this enthusiasm, patience, and faith. But the problem that this we have, we feel it that way, that okay, we feel it, that have that enthusiasm, we'll try to have a patience and we'll have that conviction also. But talking about this patience, one doubt used to come into my mind, that okay, as Mukunda says, that let it be thousands and millions of birth, I'll just wait for that. But because we see that this Kali Yuga, around 5,000 years has passed, and seeing this condition, we feel it that what will be in future, what type of a condition will be there in future. And in this birth itself, if we are not been given that pure love of God, although we are ready to wait for it, but seeing that next birth, what type of a environment will be having it, we will be able to get this type of association, and we won't be getting this type of association. And if we won't be getting this association, this conviction will also go away, and this faith will also go away from us. So how to see that that thing is also there together, because next birth we know it will be more critical than the birth we are having right now. So how to...
My recommendation to you is you should surrender everything in this life. Krishna says we must surrender everything. Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained, if you just surrender in this life, you will attain perfection, without doubt. That is Mahaprabhu's promise. Because he knows most people think like you. In this age of Kali Yuga, people simply do not want to stay around. But in this life, you will attain perfection if you surrender. Doesn't mean you have to leave your home and become a Babaji. It means you have to surrender your independent will and simply be the servant of the servant of the servant of Guru and Vaishnava and Krishna according to your capacity. And you will attain in this life, no doubt. And if not, it is explained that as Kali Yuga progresses, the sufferings are more. But the association of Vaishnavas is always there. And the greater the suffering, the more intense the Vaishnavas call out Krishna's name. Uh-huh. So Krishna, nehabhikramanastutsi pratyavayo navidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. If you sincerely endeavor on the path of bhakti, Krishna guarantees that he will send you to that place where you are guaranteed to continue on in your devotional service. But if you waste your time, if you waste your life, then Krishna will not give you that special arrangement of such good association. So therefore, we should finish up our business now with faith in Krishna. The chance is here. The opportunity is at our command. to finish this material life forever in this birth. This should be our determination. But ultimately, that is our determination. But ultimately, we accept whatever Krishna wants. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaj gadish kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoyita kitvai. Mahaprabhu said, I do not want wealth, I do not want beautiful female companionship, I do not want followers or prestige, I do not even want liberation from suffering, I only want your causeless devotional service birth after birth after birth. Surrender means to simply want to serve and nothing else. That is the real goal of liberation. To surrender simply to being the servant without any other motivation. That should be our aspiration. That should be the goal of all of our sadhana, all of our prayers, all of our study of the shastra, everything in our life, simply to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord forever with no other motivation. This is Mahaprabhu's theology. Any other questions? Yes.
What is the bottom line of surrender for a grihastha in grihastha life?
What is the
bottom line of surrender? What is the actual bottom line of surrender?
What is the bottom line of a surrender for a grihastha?
Bottom line? The bottom life of surrender for everyone is to give up all of independent motivations and be the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Krishna. That is the bottom line of surrender for every ashram. But each ashram has its own unique process of how to aspire for that stage of surrender. Grihastha means to kick out any independent desires than service to Guru and Krishna. And that means you have family, but you raise your family according to Krishna's desire and Guru's desire. You raise the children in Krishna consciousness. Your own personal lives. You work, you make money, but you're not greedy. You're not ambitious for material things. You're ambitious for service. You utilize whatever prestige you have through your work. You utilize whatever resources you have for your verse to maintain a nice Krishna conscious ashram. Grihastha ashram means a place of worship. Your house should be an ashram, a place where everything is centered around devotion and spiritual purification. So you provide to your ashram its needs. That is a service to Krishna in a simple way. And what is remaining, you utilize in charity to help give Krishna consciousness to others by assisting people who are preaching Krishna consciousness. The duty of a grihastha is charity. And in Krishna consciousness, the greatest charity is to distribute Krishna's name and Krishna's mercy. So with the money we have, we maintain a proper ashram in our home where we can, with our family, execute Krishna consciousness and develop and live pure lives. And what remains, we use for the charity of assisting the preachers of Krishna consciousness and spreading Krishna consciousness. And by living according to the four regulative principles and chanting the holy names with this consciousness, then you will attain perfection in this life, no doubt, by the grace of Guru. No doubt. But we have to be sincere, and we have to be humble. If a grihastha thinks that because I am giving so much money, or because I have so much influence, that those who are not giving so much are below me, or the sadhus, they are depending on me. That person may make a nice show and become very famous, but not in the eyes of God. Krishna sees the humility and the submissiveness in which we offer our service to him. Well, those are the basic principles of grihastha life. To associate with sadhus, to make our social life a devotional social life, and to follow these principles I explained. And for brahmachari, it means no money, no prestige, no separate interest, no possessions, simply sold out 24-hour-a-day servant of guru, nothing else. You can't be a brahmachari and work a job outside. It's not brahmachari. Brahmachari means you must live in the ashram of your guru and you must be 24 hours a day on call for menial service. This is proper brahmachari ashram. Someone living outside who's not married, but who lives at home with family and who has job, it's not a brahmachari. He's a aspiring grihastha. He's practicing Krishna consciousness, but he really doesn't have an ashram yet. And such a devotee ultimately should accept one of the ashrams. Any other questions? Just like our Ranchor, we told him like this. You should either get married, get a job and be responsible, or you should give up everything and come and live here. But what you're doing is you're neither here nor there. Remember I told you that? He started becoming very serious when I told him that. We encourage anyone according to how they can best serve. If they want to be grihastha, they should become grihastha. But just living like that, it means no ashram. You have to accept an ashram and then assume the responsibilities of that ashram. Grihastha is a very responsible position in society. And a brahmacharya is also a very responsible position in society. But we have to follow it truly and honestly according to Krishna's principles. Any other questions? One more question. Ananda Vrindavan.
Maharaj, just talking about the grihastha life.
Today we're having this meeting, you know, on the Vaishnava behavior. And the meeting is simply going to be questions and answers, no talk or discussion. So in case no one asks any questions, you should be present.
This is not related to Vaishnava etiquette, so...
Yeah, I'm saying after the feast today we're having. So you should think of nice questions for that.
So talking about this grihastha life, Maharaj, you say that you have to take up the responsibilities and duties. But if you, as per the scripture, it is said that any of the ashram you take, either it is a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha or sannyas, the main motive is detachment. Now, grihastha life is the only life where the attachment, chances of attachment is more rather than the detachment. Whatever activities we are doing, we feel it that we are doing some responsibilities, we are doing some duties. We feel it that way, but instead of our core of our heart, it is might be an attachment rather than doing duties or responsibilities. How to discriminate ourselves that whatever we are doing, that is in the form of detachment or it is an attachment?
Again, if you are just humble and accept the guidance of your guru and the advanced devotee, then naturally you will become detached. Brahmacharis can also become attached. Brahmacharis can be attached to their kopan. More than a grihastha is attached to his wife.
Huh?
Usually it doesn't work that way, but it could.
Huh?
A brahmachari can be more attached, a sannyasi can be more attached to his prestige and respectability than you can be attached, than a grihastha can be attached to his wife and home.
Huh?
There's pitfalls in every ashram. But if we are sincere and honest, and humbly and submissively accept the guidance of advanced devotees, then by Krishna's grace, without doubt, we will overcome all these pitfalls, and we will transcend all these attachments. This is why for grihasthas, according to Shastra, to show proper respect to sadhus, to serve the sadhus, is very, very important. Because it helps them, when they're submissively receiving guidance in that way, they're protected from all of these attachments. So we're just humble and just follow the instructions of Guru and the Vaishnavas, then Krishna will rescue us from all of these predicaments of material attachment. But we have to follow with enthusiasm, with patience, and with conviction. Thank you very much.